Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, November 6, 2014. Wow, do I have a lot of topics to cover tonight. The main science topic, I will be talking about UN Global Warming Report that just came out today, in fact. And talk about misinformation. The United Nations has, maybe it had good intentions like many things in the beginning, but it is just simply a tool for the world banks. And anyway, I will be talking about the global warming or global climate change report, where they concentrate on global warming, carbon emission, etc. Total misinformation. But the end game, of course, is the control of energy, the control of water, increasing control of the public through energy, where supposedly all the governments of the world can come together and over the next 30 years we will solve the world crisis, and everybody has to contribute, everybody has to partake in this. I can just see this coming down the road as the more draconian laws come into place. The only issue is man-made global warming is a myth. There is no such thing. But anyway, I'll be talking about that a little bit. I want to concentrate, however, on the solution of the energy problem, which is now out in the public domain, my wing generator, which I talk about just about every week. It's extremely important, and this is going to be a grassroots development where people start installing these, start putting them in, and then eventually we get up to bigger and bigger systems. I call it a 10-year plan, where in 10 years, let's envision where we have major contributions of energy from wing generation, the energy that we can derive from the wind. And I purposely do not call this wind generator to distinguish it from the complete aberration from normality that people now have this concept of wind generation because of the three-blade wind generator, a completely useless figment of somebody's imagination in NASA. I understand that they're actually dismantling these now in Canada. They're actually taking them down because they don't work. And so, I don't know, I'm probably selling them for scrap, but those gigantic carbon fiber blades, what on earth do you do with those? Cut them up and make furniture? I'm not sure. But anyway, quite a few topics to cover before I get into the main science topic. The Ebola situation, back in the news, some joker comes in from Liberia, comes through the airport in New Jersey, where they're supposed to have a quarantine, and takes a bus to North Carolina. Now, gee, I wonder how many people he exposed along the eastern seaboard, people in a bus station. Of course, these are the people that don't fly. If you've ever been in a bus station, I have many times in my life, and I like going on buses. I actually rather enjoy letting somebody else do the driving and see the scenery. But when you get to a bus station, let's face it, I mean, the people who are going there are typically poor people. And they're just as good as you and me. They're wonderful people, but they're just poor. So the point is that somebody with Ebola is going to spread it into that population, and that's where it would spread easily. These people are not they have no idea they've been in contact with some guy with Ebola. But let me make the point clear. These stories coming out and being broadcast widely all over the news tell me something different. What they tell me is that they're prepping the public that, oh, guy comes in from Liberia, goes to North Carolina on a bus, has Ebola. nurse fighting quarantine in a court case and winning that she doesn't want to be quarantined. Well, doggone it. You know, the point is that also in this whole milieu of confusion, the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta have done nothing, absolutely nothing, to stop the spread of Ebola. But let's look one step deeper. this sets into the mind of the public that, we're going to have Ebola in this country. So when it happens, it's nothing will be said. Let me take an aside note here. I'm going to come back to this train of thought, that when chemtrail spraying is going on, I've come to the conclusion that much of it is doing the spraying, for example, nanoparticle technology. They're spraying copper is included in it to give a higher copper content to the surface ground, not deep in the ground, but at the surface. This very much affects plants. Our northern woods are dying. Go to the woods. Go to the woods up in wherever you are. Go up to the Canadian border and look at the woods. They're all dying. These woods are falling over. The trees are dying. They're spraying something, but in all of that, you keep living, you keep breathing, etc. So one day, if they spray Ebola out of those jets or some other virus, then people will not associate chemtrail spraying with what is going on. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, by spraying and doing chemtrail spraying and getting the people accustomed to seeing this, and it's not affecting them on a daily basis, they think, well, it's maybe long-term affecting us, but they don't associate it with one day there's chemtrail spraying and everybody's got Ebola or some other virus. You see what I'm saying? Now let's go back to Ebola, the same situation where they keep talking about, oh, a guy gets on a bus, drives to North Carolina with Ebola. Okay, that's putting it in the public minds that somehow this confusion of people coming into the country is going to cause Ebola. But when it really hits, then it's going to be injected into the society from the mill labs that are developing barrels of this stuff. One time I heard that in the military labs they have enough smallpox in vats to kill the world's population 20 times. You know, this is the kind of insanity that's going on. This is like the insanity of having 6,000 nuclear warheads when 20 would be enough to completely obliterate a country and wipe it off the face of the earth and kill everybody. And if the people that lived would be radiation poisoned and wouldn't last much longer anyway, and the poor people left over would probably be, their kids would be all degenerate and genetically deformed. So, and that's with 20 major nuclear bombs around, say, the United States or Russia or China or India or Pakistan or wherever they want to talk about. You know, and they have 6,000 of these things. Boys and girls, you know, the people running this planet are insane. These are insane people. I want to jump, but just to conclude, the issue with the Ebola situation is that, yeah, at some point they will eject it. They will have the capability of injecting it into the population. Let me go on another vein here. A long time ago, I identified NASA kept pumping this idea of solar flares killing everybody in the world. I just watched a movie the other night called Knowing, K-N-O-W-I-N-G, with who's the actor? Nicolas Cage is the star in the movie. And there's a young boy who's his son. I won't repeat the plot. You can see it if you want. But the end game in this movie is that there's going to be a massive solar flare. It's being announced on the television, and aliens come and pick up his kid, and he has to give his kid over to the aliens. This is the very last scene. And then he goes home, he's with his parents, and the big solar flare comes and kills the whole world. It comes, you know, and so anyway, that's the end game. But the thing that's planted in the people's minds is they have to give over their children to the authorities and do it willingly, because now this has been a theme that has come out in the past. And now let's look at kids who are on Facebook. Facebook is a tool where they identify kids, can find out all about kids, who their friends are, etc. An underlying theme that has come out on internet, on some TV shows, on back in the goofy Planet X days when you got nutcases, women talk to alien, etc., like this, trying to put that bizarre twist on Planet X, the Planet X topic, let me put it that way, and then let me repeat. I have talked about Planet X probably more than anybody. I dealt with topics of Planet X before the term Planet X was Planet X. Planet X is actually an astronomical term that came from hundreds of years ago. Any unidentified, unnamed astronomical object that of planetary type that was called Planet X until it had an appropriate name. But now this term Planet X has become goofy. But what I've tried to do is interject a note of sanity in this. First of all, you got the government, NASA people, who give you one totally bizarre story about Planet X, denying it, saying it doesn't exist. And then you've got the wacko nutcases that talk about aliens and everything. But let me point something out. In one of the recurring themes that comes out of all of the misinformation is that if something happens on Earth, somehow you're going to have to give your kids over to the government. You see what I'm saying? So this is a central theme, and it's the basic theme of the movie Knowing with star Nicolas Cage. So at any rate, this is something that has come up again. I have heard it again, where people are supposedly supposed to willingly give your children over. And now I want to go back to Facebook. You think kids are just having a good time playing around with Facebook, putting all their friends' pictures up there and stuff like that. Facebook is owned by the CIA. The guys that owned Facebook became fabulously wealthy because that technology was perfect for what the international, and by the CIA, I don't mean the American secret police force that protects you. They are the secret police force of the World Bank to infiltrate governments around the world and put the policies and strategies and politicians and political motivations of the World Bank in all the countries of the world. That's what the CIA is. And so at any rate, they own Facebook. So when kids are putting all this information into Facebook, or adults too, people, there's more adults addicted to Facebook probably than kids. All of this information is being put into a central database where they are developing lists of people that they want to survive and people that they don't want to survive in the milieu that would come after a man-made or man-designed world disaster. Let's go back to the solar flare issue. This is now years ago I identified this. I said NASA is over-promoting this concept of a solar flare taking out the power grid. Now, there's probably no one on the planet that has talked more about this than me. But the reality is right now and for the past solar cycle, the sun has been at an absolute minimum unheard of in forever since they started taking records of the sun back when Galileo first started taking sunspot data. So the sun is at its lowest ebb, so why would you promote all of this insanity about solar flares now when the sun, if it does a X3 flare in a three-year period, everybody's like all in a big uproar over it in the scientific community because it's a big deal. It used to be back in the 90s and the early 2000s during the last solar maximum. It was a daily occurrence. X3 flares, boom, 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 all over the place, all over the solar system. And now none. So if one occurs, it's like, holy cow, we all got to jump up and scream. But the point is that they're desperate to have a power outage that would take down the world power grid and would give them ultimate control. I mean, everything is dependent on electricity. Even gasoline. You think, well, I got a couple 5-gallon tanks of gas out in the shed. If you have that, well, then that's going to last you about an afternoon, maybe to run your generator or something. But you know, the end result is that without electricity, you're not going to pump gas. The gas pumps won't work, and so that's going to just shut down everything: communications, cell phones, internet, you name it, turning on lights, your toilet won't work. Nothing, water, nothing is going to work. And that's part of the end game, is they've been promoting and pumping this into the brains of the public. So let's look at the stories that they've been driving into the public's brains, getting them prepped for when this happens. Solar flare outage, false flag, where there is some kind of solar flare, and they physically pull the plug on the electric grid, saying that it's caused by a solar flare. Expect this. It's going to happen. Okay, Ebola coming to the United States and the Western developed world. It's going to happen. And, I mean, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Or if it's not Ebola, it's going to be something else. But they're going to prep the public to the point where when it happens, and they inject it into the public, into the people that they want to have it, it's going to happen. And it's going to be, the nutcase is they have teams, fleets of people out there who do their bidding, all the way down to your local happy police force. Let me tell you, it's pretty weird out there. Okay, so that all I'm saying is all of these so-called natural disasters are in the wings. I mean, it's like rabbits in a hat. Which one are they going to pull out next? The only issue for you to understand, not when it's going to happen or what's going to happen, the issue for you is to become prepared. That means become independent. That means be prepared to quarantine yourself for a period of 6 months. And it might be at the point where you can't let anybody in the door. If somebody knocks on the door, sorry, buddy, you're not coming in. And you have to get your small group of people, your family, Aunt Polly across town, get her on board. She's not going to understand, but when it all comes down, you're not going to be able to drive across town to get Aunt Polly and convince her what's going on. It's either she's on board or she's not, you have to define what group of people you're going to work with, and the others, if it comes down to this, you're not going to be able to deal with them because they're a liability. They're going to take down your whole group. So keep your group small, less than 10 people, your immediate family. You're even going to have problems within that group of people. So at any rate, this is an issue of preparation. I want to make a quick statement here about the products on my webpage. I sell water filters. I promote the concept of water independence, where you have your own personal source of clean, fresh water, and you don't depend on nobody else. That's part of the concept of the pre-filter, is that if water conditions are bad, you have something to take out the bulk of the gunk. You go out to a mud puddle, you don't want to pour that into your nice clean water filter. You need a pre-filter to get most of that out before it goes into your water filter where you do the final filtration. And so I'm the only place on the planet where you can get a pre-filter. It fits all of the filter systems that are out there, the gravity feed water filter systems. Do not depend on an under sink or top of the sink inline water filtration system. That is not for emergency. If it has a tube connection or if it has an electric connection or both, it is not for emergency. The only type of water filter for emergency is the gravity feed type, where you can, if it's on your countertop, you're using it every day, which you should be doing, pour out the water, put the top inside of the bottom part, take the cover, stick a couple towels in it, and run out the door. That's the one thing that you would take with you if you had an emergency and you had to leave and go someplace. The one thing that you want is your gravity water filter. So at any rate, by the way, my point is that our ability to get products is being strained right now. And so if you have any intention of getting water filter products, I would suggest doing it now. Just a friendly suggestion, because this past week, the GF filters, we have more coming in, and I understand they just came into the warehouse today, and we have more coming in on a cycled order. But I'll tell you, folks, people are ordering these, and what came in probably 70% of it is already spoken for in orders that just came in the last day or so. So what we're doing is we're being strained to the limit, and at a point, I will not take orders if we cannot fill those orders. So as long as you see the clickable order buttons on my sales page, we have stock to fill those orders. And there's a product, I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but within a couple of days, I foresee taking down the order button for one of our major selling projects. It's not the stainless steel water filters, but something else. So get your orders in. Like I say, I will not sell something that I don't have stock for. And so if you go to, and also just get a wide range of products, get the either the plastic or the stainless steel water filters, get a 10-pack minimum of extra filter elements. I would suggest the pre-filter and the small travel emergency filter systems are, people are raving over those about how useful they are. Okay, enough of that, but the point is, and just a little note, some people want to order something for Christmas presents. We can ship to anybody in the world with your order. Just put it on the ship to address. But you better do it early. Don't try and order something towards the end of November or Thanksgiving and want it there someplace else by Christmas. Because I foresee a very, very busy time leading up into the month of November. And I see times in which we may not be able to take more orders, and I'll be taking down order buttons off the sales page. So, like I say, as long as you see that order button there, we have stock to cover that. And if you go there, someday you're going to go there, and there's going to be things that you're not going to be able to buy, as I'm not going to put an order button up there for something that we don't have supplies for. Okay, enough of that. The elections just occurred. Oh my goodness, what a merry-go-round this is. And supposedly the Republicans gained big. This is just window dressing in all of the hype about politics. None of this matters. Let me explain something very simply. You live in a world controlled top to bottom, north to south, east to west, by the world bankers from Europe. They control the Congress. The Congress, they might do something about appropriate money for a road or something. But when it comes to the major issues that shape your lives, they are bought and paid for and controlled. So is the president. The president's middle management in the world banking scheme. You don't become a president without, kowtowing to those people. So at any rate, the banking system, et cetera. So I'm not going to go into detail on that. But I'll talk a little bit about that when I'm dealing with the main science topic about the UN global climate change, because the UN is nothing more than another arm, another political arm of the World Banks. So in general, once again, you just have to take care of yourself. Social trends. There is a movement, a vast movement going on right now of, let me talk about demographics. The baby boomers, which constitute a major segment of modern society, the baby boomers, which were born from about 1948 and on, are starting to hit retirement age. They're starting to hit the age in which, okay, they live in a state of, say, high taxation, or they live in a state where they know that they can't retire because, say, there's a lot of money that goes towards school. Well, they tax property, they tax, there's other taxes. Those states, about 50% of the taxation goes to support the schools. And so the schools, basically, the major expenses are buildings and teachers' salaries and one thing as well. That's what a school is. Very little of that money actually goes towards the kids. So they always talk in terms of, oh, support the kids, this is for the children. But what they're really saying is that this is for the teachers, this is for the school buildings, which are built by construction companies that have bonds that go over, say, 20-year period. And so, you know, the support of the schools, the bulk of that money does not really go to education. But there's a social trend going on now where the adults that are becoming retirement age are seeing their retirements vanishing. So the thing they have to do is retire as fast as possible so they can get their some piece of their retirement. And then they're going to take that and they're going to move to a state where it's inexpensive to live and there's low taxes. This trend, in the, a lot of them are going to start businesses. A lot of these people are not going to be able to exist on their pension or Social Security or whatever else they get. And so they're going to have to start businesses, so they're not going to do it in a high taxation state. They're going to go to a low taxation state and set up shop. And so that's going to leave the states with high property taxes, high income taxes, etc., with just a large population of illegal aliens, and maybe some of those retirees will stay there, but they're not going to be the ones that are going to be contributing to starting new jobs, starting new small companies, which basically employ the bulk of employees. And then you're going to have the government workers, all who were get money from taxation. Their salaries come from taxation. That's going to be the social structure. And so the young people growing up in these areas who want to stay in these states are going to, you know, their job is going to be servicing illegal aliens on taxation money. That's going to be the only job in town. So anyway, these are social trends, but it's another significant, it comes from the implications of having a society that has economically failed. Out of this, the positive note is there are many grassroots industries growing up where people, including young people, are developing, for example, non-GMO, organic-type food sources. And they're working hard. They're marketing their products. They're becoming, they're getting their products into many states. And they're taking a positive attitude. So out of this is developing a subculture that wants sustainability, that wants good food, that wants to be healthy and not have to deal with medicine in the modern medical community. Okay, so enough of that. But social trends, I'll be continuing, I will continue to talk about this in future weeks. I was on, of course, like every Wednesday morning, I'm on John Moore's show. And what is it, 6 p.m. Central Time. And this week he made an interesting announcement. He said that came in an email from John. This is a email that came from John. He said, due to a private source he has in the oil industry, the oil refineries do not have any reserve of crude oil on hand to refine. Now, this is interesting. You have to understand these big tanks. If you go to an oil refinery or drive by, you have the refinery, all the tubes and the smoke coming out the top and the vaporization chambers and the all of that that are distilling basically the products, cracking and distilling the products that come out of crude oil, which are long-chain hydrocarbons that came from comets, the tails of large comets passing by Earth throughout history. It's not fossil fuel. It didn't come from dinosaur bones or some absolutely ridiculous thing like that. But the point is these big tanks around the refinery contain crude oil. That's what they put into the systems, and pretty much as the refineries produce product, it's being shipped off to the airport, to the gasoline stations to produce gas, or to the propane, or wherever else the other types of products, all the other products that are made out of crude oil and the byproducts. They don't have reserves in their tanks. So this is a very interesting thing. Why do they not have reserves at the oil refineries? Is there a reason? Is there a reason they don't want to buy into the future of the energy? I mean, they're going to have this on hand in the upcoming months. for heating, for all kinds of other issues that, you know, energy, that's where it comes from. So what on earth is going on? You know, there's a whole laundry list. I'll leave this up to your imagination, and maybe John is talking about more than this, but it's just, he sent me an email with this information, so I'm just passing it on to the public. But possibly the futures of energy, they're starting to see that, I'll tell you something before this is getting into a little bit advanced into the topic of my wing generator project. But that wing generator project book has been into the hands of some very high-level people and scientists. These are Tier 1 scientists. These are people that work in industry. These are people that know. These are people that give real information to their higher-ups, the information that goes up the ladder. The Wing Generation Project that I put out a number of about a month and a half ago with the Wing Generator book has sent a message that yes, there is a method and the public can do this on their own, that the development of independent energy sources from the wind that's blowing all over the earth all the time. And it's enough. There is this guy named McCanny developed a system which potentially and will overtake the energy industry, put the major energy centers out of business and replace it. That's replacing nuclear, oil, propane, and coal as our dependencies on energy. And so very likely the people in the know, they have to know these trends, and so oil futures have plummeted into the basement because they know that in the future. Now, the other half of this is that the energy producing entities are losing money, except for oil. Oil is big profit, big business. But as far as some of the other businesses, why is North Dakota, for example, having a problem economically when they've got the big boom of natural gas going on up there? There's something strange going on about all of this. But there's some movements. This is the only thing I can tell you at this time, is that I can only speculate. The only other reason they would not take on large reserves of oil now is because there's going to be a major worldwide disaster in the coming months, and they don't need it. Why buy it and have a bunch of oil sitting there when there's not going to be a market for it? Those people want to hang on to their money. They could stick all that money in their pocket, and that might be their last hurrah as far as profit, is taking the money instead of buying oil futures and oil, crude oil right now. They're sticking the money in their pocket and run. And that's the last hurrah for oil. But and that's based on a knowledge inside the industry that something major is going to happen, some kind of terrorist event, some kind of Ebola event, some kind of solar flare takes down the power grid event, and basically society is shut down. Because Ebola would do that too. It would take society and shut it down from wall to wall. Like I say, north to south, east to west, everything would be shut down. Okay, couple that with a solar flare and voila. Okay, enough of that. I can only speculate at this time, but it's in a very interesting piece of data that the oil refineries are not stocking reserve crude oil at this time. By the way, I always forget to do this. The web page, my web page is, it's the full name is called jmccannyscience.com. But because a long time ago I would try and say this on a radio show, it was too long and people made too many mistakes. And what has happened, let me explain, a long time ago, there's a thing called typo squatting, that if you miss a letter or you put in an extra letter or you put in the two M's where there's supposed to be one, somebody, and we know who it is, it's a company that operates out of Central America, run by the CIA, has purchased up all of the surrounding typo-squatting names around my webpage, jmccannyscience.com. And so if you type one letter wrong, you're going to end up at a web page that I guarantee you, you don't want to be on. And so at any rate, what I did is I went out to foil their baloney. I went out and I got what I call the short URL. It's seven letters. And I did this so that when I'm on a radio show or I'm giving out the URL to somebody and somebody then has to repeat it for somebody else, that is short and very easily translated, transferred to somebody else. So the short version, which gets you to my webpage, is www.jmccsci.com. So that's seven letters. J-M-C-C, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo, so it's the first four letters of J. McCanny, J-M-C-C, and the first three letters of the word science. That's it, J-M-C-C-S-C-I.com. So that's the web page. All of my archives for my radio shows are on a sub page. My sales page, of course, is there. And many other sub-pages that talk about other issues that have happened in the past. But jmccsci.com. And by the way, I said before, and I'll say it again, I think, and it's my gut feeling, it's kind of like there are indicators that I follow, all kinds of things like weather and announcements and social trends, economic trends, etc. And I think myself, this is my opinion for whatever that's worth, is that before or near Christmas time of this year, maybe after, maybe right after the first of the year, I don't know. And I might be wrong on this, so it's just speculation. I would give it a 50-50 prediction. That's about my confidence level in this prediction. Is that there is going to be some kind, probably a combined operation of either social or natural disasters, which would involve shutting down the entire world economy. And just all of the indicators seem to be pointing to that. We've all been waiting for this for a long time. And they will obviously try and make it sound like this was some kind of a natural disaster, like Ebola spread all by itself, or that a solar flare caused a power outage, etc. We've been expecting this for a long time. And the whole operation is that after it's over, the New World Order will be very much in place, all the way down to your local police people, who will be converted to national police. And they have all the equipment sitting there. They have most of the police houses. If you look at this over the past 10 to 20 years, most of the city and police stations have been rebuilt. But they have not simply been rebuilt. They've been rebuilt for a position of confining the public, of taking the unwanted, undesirables out of society, the ones that speak up, the ones that voice their opinion, and get them out of there. Because the rest of the people, the other 95% of the people, in the military a long time ago, they did studies. And they determined that real leaders, there's one in 20. These are natural people that the other people seem to follow, seem to listen. There's one in 20 out of every group. So that's why the military divides up the, like in basic training and stuff like that, they divide into smaller groups, and what they're looking for are these people who are natural leaders. They say something, the other people just jump up too. They take those people out, they screen them out, they take them into a next level, and then they train those people. And out of every 20 people out of that group, one turns up to be the leader. And this is true in the animal kingdom too. The dominant, the type A, the whatever you call it, the dominant, sometimes it's a male, sometimes it's a female. And they're the dominant people that control the other groups. And in the human race, it seems to be a 1 to 20 ratio. So the point is that if there is some kind of a upheaval, social upheaval, man-made, natural disaster, whatever, one out of 20 people is going to be somebody that takes control, and the other 19 people are sheeple. They're just looking for somebody to tell them what to do. They need to get those 20, one out of 20 people, they need to get them out of there, because they will be organizing people. They will be telling people what to do. You go here, you do this. And people will be doing that. So to maintain law and order, so to speak, on a large scale, they have to get those people, they have to identify those people and get them out of there as quickly as possible. Otherwise, they're going to have problems. And the rest of the people are going to be walking around not having a clue what to do, where to go, or anything. So at any rate, that's all I'm telling you, is so that you, if you're prepared, one aspect of preparation is knowing who the person is that's in charge. And you do need somebody in charge, because everybody can't be going willy-nilly, hither and yon, doing what they want. You need an organized task force of all of the people, and even if you don't agree, they should follow the person that's in charge. Because if you have a group where you got hither and yon and this person disagreeing and whatever, it's not going to work. So and those people naturally come out, and if there's a division in a group, then so be it. Then that group better divide. Some people go with this leader, some people go with that leader, and hope for the best. But, okay, on to the main science topic. The UN Global Climate Change Report just came out today. And, boy, is that laced. Now, I listened to NPR, National Public Radio, this morning, and they had a big expose on this, and they've got the pseudo-intellectual, the voice that these people use, by the way, NPR and a lot of the local state versions of National Public Radio have become very controlled a long time ago. And it's very much a mouthpiece for the think tanks in Washington, Washington agendas, the political scene in Washington, the United Nations. So it's a perfect glove fit for the United Nations Global Climate Change Committee report to be presented on National Public Radio, which is a totally controlled, you're probably never going to hear, even though they have a show called All Things Considered, you're probably never going to hear Jim McCanney on National Public Radio as an invitee. So just to give you a tone, so to speak, of what goes on there. But the pseudo-intellectual, aren't we smart, from the university genre, are reporting that, oh, global warming, we've always known it's the most horrific thing on the planet. And they step right into the mode of, we need everybody on the planet to be coordinated so that everybody is marching to the same tune. And maybe in 30 years, if we all get together, we can reduce our carbon footprint. And see, the one assumption is that you need nuclear, that you need carbon, that you, and I really found this interesting. They talked about alternative energy, but also in a diminutive tone, like, gee, if we really do these things with alternative energy, that might help, but we have to depend on carbon footprint fuels, oil, coal, and then the nuclear, they're talking about some kind of nuclear, more efficient nuclear design. Well, the reality is that nuclear fuel today comes from decommissioned bomb fuel from Russia and from the United States. It's a big market, international market, and that's where the nuclear fuel comes from today. They're burning bomb-grade nuclear products in these nuclear reactors, which were never designed for it. It's like running in a Ford Escort, the highest nitro race car fuel you can find, and put it into a Ford Escort and drive around and see how long your motor lasts. These nuclear generators are not designed to burn this high octane nuclear fuel. And so the point is that after they burn this, then the fuel still remains very hot, so they have to cool it in casks. So a higher and higher percentage of the electricity generated in the nuclear power plant goes towards cooling the the spent fuel, which is sitting there around the nuclear power plant, nobody knows what to do with. Some people have thought about sending it off to the sun. Well, the explosion this past week of a rocket trying to get to the International Space Station pretty much puts the nix on anything like that. They're not going to be sending nuclear fuel into space, because if one of those babies comes down and breaks open, sayonara. So it just sits there around the nuclear power plants. They keep generating more and more with no end in sight. Obama has already made it clear that he wants to get rid of coal-burning plants, forcing our dependence on energy primarily on nuclear and oil. And a lot of electric power plants are gearing up to run natural gas. Now, a lot of people heat their homes with natural gas, so that's going to raise the competition for natural gas prices for home heating, driving those energy costs up. And, of course, that's the goal, is to drive the energy prices through the ceiling. And this is all being controlled. Even though coal has been, in the Western societies at least, a fairly efficient, fairly good producer of energy, as it stands. But the bottom line is, and I make this point in my book, Wing Generator, McCanny Wing Generator World Energy Project, that we have to stop burning high energy content fuels as our source of energy, and we have to get rid of that assumption that these energy sources are necessary for our well-being. But you look at the UN Global Climate Change Report, and they suppose, their basic assumption in that report is that we are dependent, and we will be dependent forever, on these high energy fuels, nuclear, coal, oil. And that the best thing we can do is reduce our use of these. But then they contradict themselves by saying, well, in the developing countries, of which they claim there are a dozen, including China, India, Pakistan, some African countries, etc., that these countries are going to force the issue because they're going to have polluting technologies for the use of those high energy content fuels, coal, nuclear, oil, and probably mainly coal and oil and derivatives of those, and that they're going to be the main polluters. And so we're supposedly fighting this battle between economic development and economic development to advance, and the burning of these high energy content fuels. And that's a basic assumption of the report. They do not in any way, shape, or form give any consideration to alternative energy as a contributing factor. And so, okay, let me make this very clear. If you don't understand what my Wing book, my Wing Generation Project and the World Energy Project is all about, you have to get the book. It's an e-book on my webpage, and you have to read it. I'm not going to repeat my books on the air. You need to read this, and I'll tell you something. This has been in the hands of some very high-level people around the world. This book has been sent to high-level corporate people in companies around the world. This has gone to every major industrialized country in the world and some of the non-industrialized second- and third-level countries, or second- and third-world countries, as they're called. So the word is out, and the people on the very top, I guarantee you, this information gets to them in a form that's understandable. And the message is that, yes, this wing technology is sufficient to take down and replace nuclear, coal, and oil as our main source of energy for all of society, not just a portion, not just a diminutive, minuscule part of alternative energy. I asked people on radio shows when I was being interviewed. I was on the Maria Heller show out of Arizona. I think she broadcasts out of Los Angeles. I'm a guest on her show every month. And we were talking, discussing this, and there was a caller. And I asked the question, if you hear about alternative energy, do you think of it as a major or ever in the future, a major contributor to our energy equation? In other words, the amount of energy contributing to the amount of energy that we actually use. Do you see alternative energy as being a factor? And the answer came back, no. And this was average Joe Public on the street opinion. The reason I asked the question is because, for example, in the UN Global Climate Change Report, the basic assumption is that alternative energy, let's talk about it like there's a future, but I explain in my book, McCanny Wing Generator, World Energy Project, I explain that the myth, there's a chapter, it's called The Myth of Alternative Energy, and they talk about it to give you hope, but it's a false hope. Because the companies that controlled, for example, wind generation, the companies that control other types of energy, are basically big companies that have interest in nuclear power and the other forms of power generation and their equipment. General Electric, the biggest contributor to the wind industry, is very much involved in nuclear energy. They build the nuclear power plants for the Navy. They have military contracts for energy generation. And the reality is most of those Navy ships, including the big ones, could be moved around with wind. And you have backup power, obviously, but to get them from point A to point B, now you understand some people think of wind, like putting up sails, like a sailboat. No, the wing generation, what happens is you have to understand how it works. So therefore, if you don't have the concept of the wing generation, the way it derives energy from the wind and then directly transfers that to propulsion of a ship. You can go into the wind, you can go sideways to the wind, you can go with the wind, and you can power the boat with the wind. So the vast majority of energy to power, for example, a little difficult for submarines, I'll give them that. And the nuclear power submarines have some advantage. Certainly we're not going to go back to diesel submarines. But the use of wing generation for military use is probably not that practical. They have enough problem just managing what they have. So not very practical. But if you're transferring large quantities of, say, just shipping around the world, there's a great deal of energy expended in moving ships around the world. That energy could be greatly reduced if you put wing generation on the ships, adapted the current cargo ships, the fleets, to have wing generators on the ship, on the deck, and then that is a direct drive power to move those ships around the world. Let's look at a little fact. The energy in the form of oil, crude oil that comes from the Middle East, they burn the crude oil to move the ship. Because you think, well, gee, they must have a separate gas tank for those ships. Well, no. They're burning the crude oil. It takes sometimes between 10 and 20% of the oil content in the ship to move it from the Middle East over to the refineries in the West. That is an amazing statistic that takes that much. But remember, the shipping is a big part of energy. The trains that take the coal from the western states off to the mainly to the east to burn for energy, that's a big business. Coal train transportation, that's a big part of the coal industry. Moving the shipping that moves crude oil from the Mideast to the United States or around the world, it's a big part of the expense and the profit of the oil equation. And so why don't they want to take oil from our own reserves in the Gulf of Mexico? Well, it's right there. What do the poor guys that run the shipping companies do? Doggone, would they just miss a meal or something? Would they have a hard time? Well, of course, I don't think they're going to miss any meals. These are some of the richest people on the planet. But I'm just saying that the motivations for political solutions to these problems stop shipping from the Mideast. You'll cure the Mideast crisis at the same time, and make no mistake, it's still over oil. All of that going on over there is still over oil to keep chaos in that area. Now I'm going to switch gears just a little bit here. I'm going to talk about something that happened in the last week. There were two private space program failures. Now this is very, very important because, first of all, understand that the outer space is the private playground, at least it's considered the private property and playground of the world bankers. They do not want innovative projects getting the public into space. NASA has been the shield that has promoted this concept that only a mega billion-dollar project from the government can get people into outer space safely. And even NASA has had program failures, so that it gives the illusion of difficulty of getting into outer space. While in the background, the Navy especially, the Air Force to some degree, but the Navy primarily has the Black Ops space program that's been going on for decades. Back in the Reagan era, I remember there was a article in a newspaper, and there were line item hardware procurement budgets in the Navy for line item hardware procurement for Navy aerospace. And remember, the Navy is on water and under the water, but they had aerospace programs going on in the Navy that dwarfed single line items on their budget that dwarfed the budget of the national annual budget of NASA. The $17 billion budget of NASA was dwarfed by a single line item hardware procurement line item budget for the Navy for aerospace procurement, just for hardware. That does not include personnel or anything else. So make no mistake, the control of outer space is there. The Orbital Chemical Rocket, a private corporation called Orbital, blew up minutes after takeoff off of a launch pad, I believe, in North Carolina. And the engines, now they're saying, oh, one of the engines had a problem. No, I think it had a little help from a laser beam. The Space 2 program, which was months away from taking people into outer space, private space program, had a failure. And just a little bit too coincidental, the failure was also in the chemical rocket burn that happened after. You understand what they do. They have a aircraft which has twin engine jet engines, takes the payload up to about 50,000 feet, drops the orbiter off, and then with a chemical rocket that goes up into space and then comes back. They had 35 flights of this already, and I'm out of time, but my take on this is that failure was caused by the people who do not want you, the public, going into outer space. I'll be back next week with more. I'm out of time. This is Jim McCanney. This is my Science Hour. Remember the webpage, jmccsci.com, and we are at the crossroads. Good night.